Chapter 16. The closer to home, the more the expression innocent civilian drips with emotionally charged images and irresistible presumptions. It is more than a euphemism. It is, at times, an outright lie, the ultimate palliative for fear and superstition, an excuse for hatred and violence. Our civilians are innocent. Theirs are collateral damage. We can bomb the infrastructure of a third world enemy into the dark ages, resulting in the deaths of tens of thousands of children, and never see the expression innocent civilians in our government's press releases. The Secretary of State of the United States of America can go on national TV and, when confronted with statistics of the deaths of tens of thousands of children as a direct result of the American bombing and embargo of Iraq, make the shocking statement, "It was worth it." Not only is there no meaningful outcry from the American people over this despicable situation, if one believes the polls, Americans can hardly wait for us to go over there and bomb them some more. Because the W says Iraq supports terrorism. Our corporations can conspire with ruthless dictators to steal the resources and perpetuate the poverty of people we will never see face to face. Yet the soldiers of the multinational corporate capitalists, the corporate employees, retain the untouchable status of innocent civilian. Language is both shield and sword. It can be used to hide behind, and it can be used to paint one's victims in whatever light justifies their slaughter. Human beings have a tendency to group together in various artificial constructs, including families, churches, towns, corporations, nations, and so forth. Artificial entities develop their own interests. Historically, in any association of people, one or a few will be decidedly smarter, stronger, and more aggressive. By one means or other, such folks always wind up running the show. The masses tolerate being ruled in varying degrees and styles. Some are quite content to be subservient subjects, as long as their existence is not too miserable. In fact, a vast number of human beings have passed their existence in this life quite content to toil and even die for a ruler accepted as superior, benevolent, and even divine. Other people apparently need to believe they are free and can choose or replace their leaders, thus compelling the strong and aggressive amongst them to subordinate their selfish interests to the interests of those who have chosen or elected them to lead. While that may actually work in small settings where people really know each other and can keep track of who's doing what, there is abundant evidence that so-called democracy on any larger scale is little more than a fraud perpetrated by con men and tolerated by fools. Even the Republic, wherein public servants are bound by oath to stay within the bounds of the written law, finds its agenda taken over by the strong and aggressive when its mechanisms become unwieldy and its people inattentive. Perhaps without exception in human history, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, or so the saying goes. Over time, the folks who run things big and small, a multinational corporation or a small business, an empire or a village, have a tendency to get increasingly greedy, conniving, and ruthless. Leaders have a tendency to use the labors of the rest of the group, with or without its knowledge, to pursue ends that many of the people might find reprehensible if they knew the details. Who is responsible when an association of people engages in behavior that is viewed as wrong, unwanted, or harmful by another association of people? Corporations battle it out in court. Nation states have wars. What can a culture be expected to do when it determines that it is being economically, politically, socially, morally, and spiritually subjugated, even annihilated. What if that culture reaches the terrifying conclusion that at least a billion people are shoveling coal into the engine of a military-industrial machine that has bought off their leaders, as well as the upper classes of their societies, and is steamrolling their culture into oblivion? What if they see themselves as having zero chance of competing, compromising, or even communicating with this machine? What if that culture concludes that the people fueling the machine are, for the most part, self-absorbed ignoramuses, whose past includes the slaughter of the American Indian culture, and more recently, the only recorded use of weapons of mass destruction against a foreign people? What if that culture concludes that attempts to awaken the people of this society to the corruption of its leadership have proven utterly futile? How desperate do you suppose you would be if you saw your culture's chances of survival as slim to none? Would you be inclined to view the citizens fueling the military-industrial machine destroying your culture as innocent civilians? They won't listen. They ridicule you when you try to reason with them. They only want to have their government shut you up or bomb you into the dark ages so they can have a clear conscience and cheap gasoline with which to make their next trip to Disneyland? Innocent civilians, indeed. There are perhaps several million Americans of conscience who do not see Islam as the only culture described above.